Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Carlos Correa signs with Scott Boras. And at first glance, you think, that's horrible because he's just so difficult to work with. He's going to want max dollars. Obviously, he's going to want max dollars. But now, since everybody, you can't talk and everybody obeys the rules, no one is allowed to have any negotiations with any team. You can't, there's no business being done in Major League Baseball. So it's going to be awfully difficult to get Carlos a
not
big,
the real
long-term
one.
Deal. Honestly, I mean, when you talk about the teams...
It's not going to be because they don't... There's no way they're adhering to that. So let's not say it's going to be hard to get a long-term deal. No one's adhering to that. I haven't heard anything, but do you believe they're adhering to that?
No. No, absolutely not. You know, Scott Boras is on the phone with general managers.
So it has no bearing on whether or not he can get a long-term deal.
Yeah, well, but what might have some bearing on it is, you know, not knowing what the economics of this deal is. What might have some bearing on it is the limited number of teams that can afford a 10-year, $300-plus million contract. I think whether or not Carlos Correa is going to be able to stay. I mean, there are a lot of question marks to Carlos Correa 10-year deals. There's a lot of question marks. And especially at a time when Major League Baseball is in a quiet period. So whether or not it happens, I don't know. I think it really opens the door for a year or two-year contract for Carlos Correa with stupid, stupid numbers that he can, he can get back to the free agent market while he's still in his 20s. And the window is open for your Houston Astros with Justin Verlander here for 2 years. I don't think it's out of the question at all. Matter of fact, I really like it because I'm not sure. So far, there has been one $275 million offer, and Carlos turned it down from the Detroit Tigers.
That was... I get it because it's not 300, and he wants that magic three in front of it. But that was
when Lindor got 341, and
I get
Seager
it.
Got 3.25.
I get it. We'll see if I get that you feel like you should be next in line. We'll see if anyone's willing to pay it.
Well, it's funny that Seager is the one that was that moved ahead of him in line.
I mean, that's hard to believe.
Yeah,
for me, but it also tells you that maybe we overvalue him. They had an article about how one of the general managers or a couple general managers said that they felt like Carlos's health stuff was a big, big concern with giving the long-term deal on it. Maybe Carlos and his crew are overvaluing what he is going to be worth on the open market. Maybe so.
Well,
maybe our talk and discussion is we're in our own bubble, our Carlos bubble, and maybe that's not going to be the reality.
Well, if there's anyone that's going to overvalue Carlos Correa, it's going to be Scott Boras.
Yeah, but you have to have teams.
He's going to ask for, right. Yeah.
I mean, in Seager, you would have never guessed he would have gotten more than Carlos. I'm not convinced that he doesn't end up getting more than Carlos now.
I think it'll be close. You know, maybe somebody just steps up and goes, no. Maybe it's the Yankees. Maybe it's the Red Sox.
Maybe it's the Dodgers.
Who knows? Maybe it's the Cubs. It could be.
Those are the four, big market, big money teams.
But you're really, really limited now. And, let's not forget, you're going to have a window that's going to be much tighter with these negotiations going on and nothing happening in Major League Baseball right now. Plus a shortened preseason, it looks like. I don't know. I think it just, I hope it opens the door for your Houston Astros to come in, swoop in with a year or two deal for more than the market price because it's a shorter term deal, and it benefits everybody. Carlos still will have, he'll make more than he'll probably make average per year on a longer term deal. He will still be able to hit free agency in his 20s. He gets a couple more years to prove. He gets a couple more years to win with the Houston Astros. We know he's a winner. We know he's clutch. We know he's the best defensive shortstop. I think if he proves over for if this happens and he proves for a couple more years that he can stay healthy, for that'll be 4 years in a row that he's healthy. That'll be 4 straight years of
that
health.
That shuts down narratives.
Yeah.
That shuts down narratives. I don't think Scott Boras is the kind. Now, if there is a guy who would do it, it would be Scott Boras, who'd say, you know what? We're not getting what we want. Let's just force the Astros to give you $38 million a year for 2 years. Let's see if we'll do that, and we'll hit the market again. But you've got to believe that Carlos, at the age of 29, can get 8 more years. And I don't know. It's a whole lot easier at age 26, 27 to give a 10-year deal than it is to give an 8-year deal at 29, where you know you're into 36, 37 range. I just think that's a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit tougher. But you know, if you're also getting $40 million a year in 2 years, if the contracts keep escalating and you go six, you know, if you go 6 years at $40 million and it turns into $240 million plus your 76, I mean, or your 80, I don't know. If you got seven at 40, would be $280 million. So then if you said, okay, 280 plus the 75 we made from the Astros, that's 255. That's more than any of these guys for 9 years. You know, maybe you could look at it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the way. And listen,
I could see Boras betting on Carlos in that regard. I don't think Carlos wants to do that, though.
No, but Carlos loves Houston. Let's not forget
because
that.
Because then you're kind of this contract is just a bridge contract. It's not even a real one.
Well, that's what he's been doing here with. He's been having a bridge contracts with these last couple of years anyway. He had something to prove. He proved it. Whether or not the market will pay him is another story. Because if it doesn't come out, if nobody's coming up with 300 or more, you know, over 8, 9, 10 years, if the best offer out there was what the Tigers offered and Carlos refused it, and now he doesn't have the Tigers anymore because they picked up Baez. Then you know what? He might have to settle and prove himself again and then hit the open market again. But I think that Boras wouldn't be scared of that because Carlos will still be in his 20s. Once you start to hit, and then it only has to be a 7 or 8 year deal. It doesn't have to be a 10-year deal. And he's still in his 20s. And I think that'd be a hell of a lot more marketable. And we'll see. And if Carlos steps up even bigger than he has been, again, he's betting on himself. It's a big bet. You're betting on yourself. But Carlos, he hasn't been afraid to bet on himself so far, right? As opposed to taking offers from the Astros.
A 2-year deal, you're just waiting for your next deal. It's almost like it would be a little bit weird for Carlos. Like, yeah, I'm doing these next 2 years, but I'm waiting for my real money. Well, we're giving you $38 million a year, bro. What are you talking about?
Well,
your real money?
Might not say
yeah,
that.
But I'm waiting for my next, like, who I'm going to be with for the rest of my my life. And I wonder if the Astros will look at him as just kind of a little bit of a not fully in. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what the negatives would be. If there's one guy that you wouldn't have that vibe from, it'd be Carlos Correa.
No.
Because you could have said that about this year. But he also was under club control this year. It's not the same that you say, well, he was playing year to year. Not really, because it was club control. This would be a bridge contract just to get him to the real, real long-term big money. But at least with Boras, you feel like maybe there's a possibility.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I like that Boras is the guy. I know that he's like the devil incarnate here, but he is. I think this is actually a better deal for the Houston Astros because, like you said, if he's with William Morris Agency. They have to come out and prove a huge point. Scott Boras doesn't. Scott Boras has got plenty of pelts. William Morris needed to hit a huge home run with Carlos Correa, and that's not on the table anymore.
because they want to own 10 minor league teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a business move. It sure doesn't seem sexy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the economics are of owning a minor league team. I do know this. I do know that we've got Seth Greenberg joining us next to talk college basketball, and specifically your Houston Cougars. And we've also got foot and ankle problems.
Yes, well, we don't. I do. And, I've had them. But Dr. Latif Nuruddin is a guy that can fix it for you. I want to make sure that you know that if you have any issues with your foot problems through diabetes, he's a guy who specializes in that. He specializes also in children's foot care, heel pain, like plantar fasciitis. That's a major, major issue. But did you know that with proper care from a doctor like Dr. Latif, you can get back on your feet much more quickly than if you just try to wait the thing out? Running and sports injuries, this is where you need to have an expert in the field. And Dr. Latif is that expert. He's been a college athlete. He knows what it means to have you ready to roll. And in really any type of foot issues, bunions, hammer toes, anything that is slowing you down, these are issues that Dr. Latif can help with. Make sure that you go with the very best. He is at Bayou City Foot and Ankle. And if you want to give him a call, I suggest you call right now and set up your appointment so you can get in quickly to see him and get back on the road to recovery. Do not let that foot and ankle issue slow you down or become an even worse impediment to you living your best life. 281-500-8891. I want you to call right now and set up your appointment. Don't wait it out, guys. 281-500-8891. Bayou City Foot and Ankle, and ask for Dr. Latif.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk some college basketball. Joining us now, college basketball legend Seth Greenberg here with us on the show to talk about what's going on and specifically what's going on right here in Houston. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. You guys doing all right?
We're doing wonderfully. Coach, as a former coach and a longtime basketball lover of college basketball, You've got to love the way this Houston Cougar team plays, with diving on the floor, crashing the boards, no stars, everybody just playing their hearts out. What Kelvin Sampson has done here, I mean, as a college basketball fan, you really, really got to love what he's doing here.
Yeah, I mean, Kelvin's done an incredible job. He's done an incredible job in every aspect of connecting with the community, developing players, recruiting good players, getting the buy-in, improving the facilities, everything surrounding the business of college basketball, and then the execution of college basketball. And I said it this weekend. I said they're the Villanova of the American Conference. They've separated themselves with their identity, with their culture, with their buy-in, and it's been really impressive. And when guys go down, the next guy steps up, and there's no excuses. They just embrace their role and play to their strengths, and it's a testament to Kelvin, the staff, and everyone that's involved in the rebirth of Houston basketball.
Does the country? I guess it's not a national brand yet, so I don't know that the country understands.
It used to be.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was, but it obviously lost a lot of luster over the years. But when you lose a Sasser, when you lose a Mark coach, and you're continuing to win at the way that they're winning, do you think the rest of the country's caught on to this?
Yeah, I do. I think the basketball community has. I mean, look, you're going to have your fans that are going to show up in March, and they're not even going to know who Marcus Sasser is or Tremont Marks is. They're just going to see, oh, wow, Houston's won a lot of games. And they went to the Final Four. Then they're going to do a little research. Oh, they went to the Final Four last year. They must have a lot of guys back. Well, Kyler Edwards obviously has stepped up, but I think basketball people, and there's not a ton of us, to be honest with you. Football season goes 12 months, but people that really follow the sport, unless you're just negligent, what's going on. That's just the way it is. Look, they're not selling out. They're selling out in tickets. They're not selling out in bodies every game, but they're surely on national TV a lot, and they're playing obviously a terrific non-conference schedule, and everyone knows what a great coach Calvin is. And more importantly, he's poured his heart and soul into the program. And I think that's something that, you know, doesn't go unnoticed. It's not just wins and losses. It's the things they're doing in the community. It's the things, you know, he's made it a family affair. And it's been really impressive. It's been fun to watch, quite honestly.
Seth, I'm curious about something. I recently read, I was looking at how the NIL money has been distributed across platforms, and women's sports has actually taken on a bigger percentage of the money than expected. Football, of course, is a major part. Basketball, not as much as expected. And I'm curious if you think that NIL potential could possibly, however that is, you know, however you want to couch that and whatever it looks like, if that has any chance of preventing some of these second round type players from leaving in a one and done scenario and maybe sticking it out for an additional second or maybe even third year with the program, which might actually strengthen and make college basketball a little deeper.
Yeah, I think, look, college basketball this year is as old as it's ever been, obviously with the COVID year and the transfer portal and the Syracuse seniors. But, yeah, I do think, because, one, now when you tell your players to run your own race, if you're going to be a second-round draft choice or you're going to, you know, have contract, you know, that $235,000 contract, well, you know, guys can make more than that than the NIL. And let's face it, let's call NIL what it is. I mean, NIL is basically excluding, I think someone on the women's side. And so these guys aren't really moving the needle. There are a couple that'll move the needle. We've just basically created a legal way of cheating. You know, these players have a value. The value is obviously to help teams win, to put people in the stands, to, you know, help market universities. And because of that, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, coaches are finding 10, 11, 12 affluent boosters and creating, you know, NIL deals, whether it's from individual companies or whether it's basically pooling money and then having an outside organization find companies to partner with to create NIL deals for these athletes. I mean, I don't know. It's in your state. It's the craziest thing. Someone, how much money did Texas A&M spend on their football recruiting class?
A bunch. Yeah. But well, now it's
and those guys haven't played down yet.
It's legalized cheating, but it's not like it wasn't going on before. So, there was plenty of it.
Exactly.
It
was going on in certain places before.
Yeah.
I probably, if I was doing it before, I wouldn't be talking to you guys.
That's right. You should have been doing it better, Coach. You know, last year it was a collision course with Gonzaga and Baylor, Coach. Does it seem more wide open this year to you?
Yeah, I think there are. There are more teams, and that has to do with the portal, and that has to do with the super seniors. And, you know, you've got Duke, which is a younger team, but talented, but haven't been able to close out close games. But then you got Gonzaga, which is basically a veteran team. We talk about Chet Holmgren, but, you know, we forget, you know, we don't even talk about Drew Timmy and his footwork. We don't talk about Anton Watson comes off the bench. We can talk about Rasir Bolden, who trades from Penn State or Iowa State. So, I think there's a number of teams that, and teams are still emerging. You know, if you watch Purdue, Illinois the other day, you know, just a high, high level game. I mean, you know, just fiercely competitive. You see what Auburn's doing. Now, they have a great freshman in Jabari Smith, but they've got, you know, three guys from the portal. Walker Kessel's like a human backboard. He blocks every shot. J.D. Johnson knocks down jumpers, and the kid Wendell Green Jr. knocks down jumpers and is aggressive. And then look at Kentucky. Kentucky's gotten old. It's the oldest team John Calipari's ever coached. Since he's probably been at, you know, probably UMass. I mean, with Kellen Grady, a super senior, who scored 2,000 points at Davidson. And Oxford Shewe, who transferred from, you know, West Virginia. And, you know, you look at their roster and, you know, Davion Mintz is a fifth-year guy, a sixth-year guy, actually. So college basketball's gotten old. And I think with it getting old, there are more teams that can compete for a championship.
Who's the best Who's the best pro prospect out of Smith, Holmgren, and Boncaro?
I think it's Smith. I think Jabari Smith is just he's got a little Kevin Durant in his game. You know, some of our people think Holmgren because of his upside, his shot-blocking ability. Smith can really guard on the perimeter. Paolo Boncaro doesn't guard. Not a very good defender, but he can take over a game. He's not an elite athlete. What he is he's ridiculously skilled.
Yeah, and Holmgren looks a little like Durant, too, with the arms, the skinny arms. That's for sure.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the jump. Like Holmgren can make a three, but he's not breaking it down off the bounce and, you know, step back and then using his reach. But he is long and got great feet. And he struggles more against smaller guys that, get physical and get into his body.
Yeah. What's the matter with Memphis, Coach? Why aren't they a bunch
of... Too many like pieces. Roles aren't defined enough. Is my gut feeling. I don't have a true point guard. I mean, it's just really simple. I don't have a guy that really is going to give up themselves for the good of the group. And then every single guy is like the next guy. Instead of like, you want to have guys come off the bench that are different. So now when things go a little bit south, guys are going, well, I could have made that mistake.
Mm-hmm. Too many like guys.
You know, it's hard to have a good locker room.
Yeah,
it sounds like he's talking about the Rockets. Too many light guys and not a point guard. Like that is a
sounds just
that
like.
Is that is an issue. You know, I watched.
They're a really young team too, not a Rockets.
What's that?
Yeah,
they're a really young team.
Absolutely.
I watched. This is now back. This is not back to back games, but Duke has been beaten now by Miami in a close one. Miami smashed North Carolina. Miami's playing really good basketball, but Miami, and then they get beat by Florida State. And I know this is the swan song for Mike Krzyzewski, and I know the team wants to send him out, and I know he wants to go out in a Final Four mode. Where do you position Duke right now from what you've seen up to this point? Is this one of those just kind of a malaise in the middle of the year that will happen from time to time, or is this an example of all the parity that you're talking about?
Well, I think a little bit of both, and I think they're a work in progress. They're relying on three freshmen, too. I mean, and I think that's the difference. I mean, you know, do they have a really good team? Yeah, they have a really good team. But, you know, Trevor Keels is playing a lot of minutes. And obviously, you know, Paolo's playing a lot of minutes. A.J. Griffin's playing a lot of minutes. So college basketball is hard. It's not just plug and play. So it's going to take time. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, you know, they've been a little inconsistent defensively. And at the end of games, they haven't figured out how to get Paolo Banchero the ball, you know, in a position to win a game for him. Like last night, he had a great last 10 minutes of the game. He went 10 minutes rough, shot up, which is ridiculous. And then the last play with 10 seconds to go, he's inbounded the ball and never gets the ball back. And that can't be. But they've improved defensively. Not a great shooting team, but surely good enough to make a run in the tournament. But they've got to figure out a way to close out games, especially with the ball in Banchero's hands.
Seth Greenberg with us here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you had to bet long-term on a program, would it be Buzz Williams at A&M or Chris Beard at Texas?
You break it up. But,
if you had to bet long-term on a program, would it be Buzz at Texas A&M or Beard at Texas?
I'd go with Chris Beard. And they're both great coaches. I mean, they do a great job a little bit differently. A to Z, Chris Beard has his hands on everything in the program. And I think that they made a couple of mistakes. I mean, the one thing about Chris Beard, he's got to recruit really, really tough guys. And although they brought in some very good players in the portal, I'm not sure those guys have the DNA that he coaches. When you think of Texas Tech teams, I mean, they just fought you every inch. And that's how they develop their identity. I think, you know, the guys that they brought in, and they're all talented guys from the portal, but I wouldn't say they're the toughest guys and the most competitive guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hurting them a little bit. But, you know, both of them do a really good job. They're both being in the same conference, so that's going to be interesting.
Is
like recruiting interest in the state. I don't know. I think Chris has more staying power, is my gut feeling.
Is it going to be tough? We know how tough it's going to be for Texas in football in the SEC. Will it be tougher basketball-wise as well?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, look, anytime you're dealing with Kentucky, LSU's got really, really good. I mean, the depth of the SEC is ridiculous. Tennessee's not going anywhere. I mean, top to bottom right now, the SEC's probably, depth-wise, the best conference in college basketball. The Big 12... You know, 7 teams in, I think, the top 50 in defensive efficiency, probably the toughest conference to play in. But, I think that Texas will be fine. I mean, Chris Beard's going to get good players, and they're going to have that new facility. And which is going to be great because it's smaller, so they're going to have to be able to create a great home atmosphere. And, you know, I think A&M will continue to recruit good players, do a lot, you know, do as well a lot in the transfer portal, and, you know, get kind of guys with a little bit of edge. So I think, you know, you're going to have good programs. TCU, the job that Jamie Dixon's doing right now is he's doing a you know, really good job with his program. So basketball in the state is in very, very good hands.
Yeah, and U of H going to the Big 12, they you know, it's going to be obviously going to be tougher than the American, but they should be right up there near the top, even in the Big 12. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, there'll be more of a cumulative effect. You know, the difference between the Big 12 and, you know, obviously the American is there's going to be more good teams you're playing against every single night. And, you know, like Iowa State's not going anywhere. They're going to continue to defend and keep you on one side of the floor. Texas Tech's not going anywhere. They're going to, you know, I mean, those games will be just flat out rock fights. You know, Kansas is not going anywhere, but they're going to be fine. I mean, they'll continue to recruit good players, and they'll continue to have their identity and their culture. But, you know, they're going to have to be, you know, probably raise, you know, game in and game out, because it's not one game when you play. Like when I coach the ACC or the Big East, it's not one game. You can get your team up for one game. It's when you got punched in the face, and then you got a game, you know, on Saturday, and you got to turn around and play on Big Monday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the challenge for playing in those leagues. It's not getting up for one or two games. That's why those teams from different leagues can get a run in the tournament. It's when you're dealing with that every single, you know, Thursday, Wednesday, you know, Saturday, or Monday, Thursday, Saturday, you know, for three months, it's a rock fight every single week for at least two games. That's the cumulative effect of playing in those conferences.
Mm-hmm. Baylor's found that out this past week. Duke is finding it out. You know, for the most part, you know, you're going to find that out in these bigger, that's for sure. That's Seth Greenberg, college basketball personified right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There's Seth Greenberg here. Good get, Aaron. Nice job. Let's take a quick one here. Seth was probably an all-state guy, I would imagine.
Yeah, he should have been. And, you know, my guess is he lives in cold weather climate, so he needs to be an All-State Windows and Siding guy as well, if he's not already. All-State Windows and Siding, what they have done, really for years, for generations of, there's different, multiple generations have worked and owned this business. So what you get with All-State is the consistency of a company whose name means a lot to them. Their product means a lot. Their service means a lot. And it's time for you to get rid of those old aluminum windows and do it with my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding. You can get the windows that are made right here in Texas. They're highly energy efficient. They're built for Texas tough weather, the wind, the rain, the heat. It's all covered. And keep your home warm all winter long and save on your electric bills with new windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. You can call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 for an appointment for your free window inspection today. Get 25% off your windows, and for a limited time, you can get 36 months of interest-free financing when you mention ESPN. Military, senior citizen, discounts are available. Cash discounts are available for you. Invest in beautiful quality windows. Remember, for the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding.
ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:35 on ESPN 97.5. Today's National Popcorn Day, Lance. Do you remember when you pooped in a popcorn?
That never happened.
Is Monty listening?
Those were a joke. I got admonished yesterday at the dinner table.
What happened?
Well, I guess I don't think I told the story on the air. She heard me tell a story, apparently. She set me up. I said something about
she
reading.
She outsmarted you?
Yeah, she's reading Oliver Twist with my wife. You know, she's the only one of my kids who homeschool. I let my wife have one, the last one. I'm like, yeah, you can homeschool this one. So, you know, not surprisingly, she's the hardest worker, smartest. And so I said, yeah, I read Oliver Twist. My wife clearly didn't believe me. She goes, really? You read Oliver Twist? I said, yeah. When? I said, I think like in fourth grade, maybe fifth grade. And I talked about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Is that more porridge? More porridge,
I think so. I didn't actually read it. I just said it.
Yeah, I know.
So he's I did read
Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
He was a little
porridge, sir.
Yeah, he was a little thief.
Oliver is the musical Oliver Twist, but she's reading Oliver Twist. Yeah. Well, he wasn't a thief. He didn't mean to be a thief. He had to be. He was one of those little orphans or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he had to get porridge. He was looking for bread and
never
porridge.
Bathed.
It's very similar to Les Mis, probably. Anyway.
It's a little different.
Because I started singing. Look down and laugh.
Well,
my wife said,
Les
not
Mis.
The same. Les Mis. I said, what about this? There is a castle. Les Mis. It's
Les Mis.
Not Oliver. I said, same thing. So my daughter, I said, yeah, I read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory like in fourth grade. My teacher would read it. We read it, blah, blah, blah. Because I also figured out David Culley is Charlie. He got a golden ticket. Just had to wade through a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And then finally at the end, he gets everything. He's Charlie. He got the golden ticket. I got the golden ticket. Analytics and nachos, and I am a junkie. And then eventually he gets a big payday.
Right.
But not after Augustus Gloop and Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio had to do their thing and Mike TV. So anyway, my daughter goes, oh, was it in fourth grade or was it in third grade when you were kissing the neighbor from across the street? And when I heard you talking about that before, or maybe it was in when you were in junior high when you read it, when you were kissing that girl under the stands at the school dance. It's super judgy, super judgy. And the first thing I had to remember was, I was like, I didn't do those things. Marty, I didn't, that never happened. She goes, yeah, I've heard you talk about it. I said, yeah, it was a joke. She goes, it wasn't a joke. I said, yeah, I did it on radio. We say things that we don't mean on the radio. She goes, no, I heard you say it to mom one time.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever, you're
that was
grounded.
Lying.
Yeah, so she set me up. She goes, oh, was it in third grade or was it fourth grade or third grade when you were kissing that girl from across the street?
Why is she smarter than you?
She outsmarted
you. How old is she? 9?
She's 11.
11?
She's 11 now.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
She's a judgy 11-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Tell you that much.
She's a Puritan.
Yeah.
And
super judgy. And you know what? Frankly, I'd like for her to stay that way now.
Mm-hmm.
Once she's in her 20s, it's going to be too much. But for right now, I want her to stay my little Puritan. But if she ever goes to regular school, which she's going to, when it's just not going to be great. Because she twerks so hard. She works on everything.
She works?
I said, and then works. She works really hard. So like her musical, she sings the songs to the point of annoying us on purpose. She'll work at all of her lines. She sings and does all this stuff. She goes to her musical class and she goes, okay, everybody, I want you to look at Maddie. She's the way that you all should be working.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Maddie's like very proud, just, you know, peacocking around. And she just doesn't know. Like, Maddie, we have to tell her,
no,
listen,
that's not.
I know
be
you
a good
think
thing,
that's
Maddie.
Awesome, but this is really going to leave you.
They're going
to
hate
and
you.
All my sons who have gone all to, you know, public school, they're like, those other kids hate you. No, they don't. They don't hate me. They didn't know I'm a hard worker. Mm. Snacks, like, trust me, they hate you. That's why you have no friends in that class. They're so mean to her. But anyway, yeah, I don't think we can transition her to a regular school.
You ought to have a reality show of just your dinners.
I know. I don't think we can. It gets aggressive sometimes. But I don't think we can transition her to a regular school because at this point she's so judgy and girls are so mean at this age.
Yeah.
Like, I would have had to get her in by third grade.
Girls are mean at every age.
I know. I know. They are.
They're the worst people.
But they are terrible people. But yeah. They do kick it up around middle school time.
Oh no, high school.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh my gosh,
Frankie
we're gonna send this judgy little Puritan into a high school where she can start pulling her stuff, and they're gonna be like,
well,
it's just not gonna be a good
Frankie
mix.
Was like bullied by these girls in high, and then Frankie is fat shaming some girl at LSU. I'm like, Frankie, you should.
Who's this an imitation of?
Frankie. Frankie, when she was
had it in her for the time she was
Frankie
a baby.
When Frankie was a baby, she would, like, on her, in her high chair, she would throw stuff off so that Luce would have to pick it up. Yeah, that was my daughter. Yeah, she throws it. Here, hey, pick that up, Luce. What? Frankie, I get will that. Beat you, girl. You do not do that again.
Get that.
Every time I come home, Lucy go, she fired me again today. What? Yes. Frankie fired me again today.
Your daughter would fire Lucy.
Yeah.
She fired me again.
She fired me again. She Luce had a little beat up car that had, you know, Jesus as a savior, and when she picked Frankie up from school, Frankie would make her drive down the block. No, keep going. And then Frankie would walk to the car so nobody see her getting in.
Oh, are you serious? Wow, that's terrible. By the way, I didn't know this. Vitor Belfort's son, Davey, is the number one ranked high school quarterback in the class of 2025. That's a ways from now. He's already gotten an offer from Nick Saban.
Really?
Vitor Belfort, MMA legend, his son. So remember what he told you? My son, I love football. I don't love soccer. It's for sissies. They fall down. Once you have real football. I didn't know it meant his son had an offer from Nick Saban.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he must be pretty serious.
25.
Before he even played a high school game, he got an offer.
How big is the kid? I bet the kid's big.
I mean, Vitor's only like 5'10".
I know, but...
Kid's probably like 6'1", I bet. I'm going to look him up now. Davey Belfort, D-A-V-I.
All right. Davey. 943 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, news of the weird, and there's some weird stuff going on. How much can you... But he's only in, he's what, 5'11"? But he's only in eighth grade?
Well, yeah, he's not in high school.
He's in eighth grade?
No, he's 16.
Oh, he is?
5'11", 165.
5'11", how is he class of 2025 then if he's 16? He should be in sophomore.
Well, yeah, class of 22 this year, then 23, then 24. Yeah, maybe it's class of 24.
Whatever the case may be, when we come back, how much can you make standing in line? We'll tell you on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, my friends over at Great Plate is the name of the Jack's Grill, and you may know them as Jack's Grill and Union Kitchen. Union Kitchen still has one of the chicken dishes that I absolutely love. I was so happy they kept that on the menu. But I want to talk about Jack's Grill for a second. We like to go to the one that's there near the Bel Air area. There's three different Jack's locations. And you can go to jacksgrillhouston.com, jacksgrillhouston.com. I'm just telling you right now, their wings, their quesadillas, their burgers, 100% real beef patties that are full, and you get so much in these burgers. It's just your spot for comfort food. When you want good old-fashioned, down-home quesadillas and burgers and your chips and queso, and especially those wings, this is your spot. They got TVs there so you can watch all of your games, but I promise you, you have such a great atmosphere for families when you head over to Jack. So whether it's for lunchtime, whether you go for dinner, maybe it's after a baseball or soccer or football practice, the whole team wants to go over there or have a birthday party, that's going to be your spot. It's a great spot for you. And Jack's Ritas. I mean, you got to have some margaritas, and Jack's Ritas ready to take care of the adults with the beer and the margaritas while your kids are having delicious food and enjoying themselves as well. Make sure that you check out Jack's and enjoy all that great food. Three locations here in the Houston area. For more information, go to Jack's Grill Houston, jaxgrillhouston.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 948 ESPN 97.5. Our final segment is News of the Weird, as I mentioned. There's a guy who says he is a professional cure. He's in England, obviously, because he said cure.
Barbecue?
He says he earns $20 an hour waiting in line in queue for rich people, on occasion earning 160 pounds, which is at least $200 a day.
You know this isn't new, right? You know people do this for Franklin's Barbecue? That's what you're going to say? People
My cousin had some friends at UT when he was going to school there. That's what they did during finals, too.
Yeah.
And you just sit up and study all night while you're sitting in
line. I think our listener, our friend Dez, used
minute.
To pay
Franklin
people.
Franklin Barbecue, how long do you have to stay in line?
3 hours. You obviously have to get there before they even open.
You don't go there that day.
You have to get there before they open. That day, that's every day. You have to get there super early.
Okay, so wait a minute.
It's not a lie, right?
No, people make money. One of his roommates would literally, he would solicit on Craigslist and be like, if you're coming to get, you know, Franklin's, all you have to do is buy me a case of beer, give me $100, I'll get there at midnight, and I'll make sure you're the first in line. And he would sit there with a case of beer and his books, and he would study and drink all night. They'd show up right before opening, he'd pack up his chair.
That's going to be a hell of a big order.
Then if you're
paying him $100, that's a hell of a big order. But it's not a bad. What about 6 a.m.? Can I at least sleep?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing any of that. You know what? Anything? There's nothing I would wait 3 hours.
Queue up, please. It's time to queue up for my barbecue.
I guess when I was a kid, I waited in line for 3 days for Bruce Springsteen tickets.
Did you really? Yeah. 3 days?
Well, we switched off. But
people online probably thought that's bull crap.
Got first row. Well, actually didn't. We were right third, and we got like third row. It was like, you guys suck. How is it that we're third in line for tickets that are going on sale right now, and we get the third row?
Because y'all weren't hot girls?
Yeah. Apparently the U.S. is going to let teenagers drive big rigs in a test program to help ease the supply chain shortage. Do you want Alec driving a big rig?
Alec didn't want to get his license. I don't even let him drive no. The answer to your question, your specific question about my son, Alec, mm-hmm. No. Now ask about Drake. No. None of my kids do I want to ask about my wife.
Drake isn't a teenager anymore.
No, he's not. My wife, I don't want her driving a rig. Want me driving a rig?
No, I don't want.
I don't think that we should just be like, well, we can't find anybody. Let's just pull somebody off the streets. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Hey, Florida, you've got an idea.
I don't want to hear it.
They want to shield white people from discomfort of their racist past.
So what do you do?
A bill pushed by Governor Ron DeSantis would prohibit public schools and private businesses from making white people feel discomfort when they teach students or train employees about discrimination in the nation's past, received its first approval Tuesday. So,
how does that work?
Well, you just.
I don't feel anything. Listen. I like. What? What?
I didn't do
my
it.
My people were in Germany. Yeah.
I didn't do what? It.
What?
We were in Italy.
What? We weren't even close to here.
Yeah.
Don't put me on those colonial people.
No.
I'm not a colonial. Does this face look colonial?
We were busy. We had a lot of incest going on in Italy.
Oh.
We didn't have.
Oh.
We weren't
You say that because your whole family is in one village for all of eternity.
For 500 years. Yeah. I'm sure there was some incest going on there. Positive that there was some incest going on there. Stop. Okay? I don't care if people feel. If you were racist, then you should feel guilty. Stop already, Governor DeSantis. A Mexican man. How about this? How nice is this, Lance? He donated a kidney to his girlfriend's mother. Isn't that a nice story?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then she dumped him a month later.
I knew it. I knew that was coming.
And married somebody else.
Hey, you know what you should do? Give your kidney to my mom. I will love you forever.
Do you think that this was a good idea? There was a Chinese couple trapped in lockdown on a date. And now they're engaged to be married.
He wore her down. Or vice versa.
Well,
like, eventually you just think, I can wear on them to the point that it'll take.
Yeah. A former bullied man, he found happiness. He got married. Here's who he married. Hatsune Miku. Who is a doll. Oh, she's a little baby doll.
Oh,
he
no.
He married her. He was being bullied. You thought you were bullied before, pal? Guess what? Guess what's going to happen now, okay?
No, when you're, he can just stay in a house all day.
Well, but if he actually wants to go out. Newly discovered parasitic worm has been named after Jeff Daniels. Do you want a parasitic worm named after you?
No. How does that work? What's the worm called?
I don't know. I don't know. For whatever reason, Jeff Daniels is now the proud namesake of a tarantula killing.
You know, it's just somebody who hated him in a role.
Yeah.
And said, you know, such a worm is Jeff Daniels. We should name this worm Jeff Daniels because he's such. Hey, okay. So who's like the biggest wormy person you can think of? Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Did you see the role? In Newsroom, the way Jeff Daniels was just so wormy. Yeah. We had to call this thing Jeff Daniels, and I would have been like, what about Easterby?
You'll call Jack Eastby and they'll be like, no, we don't even know who that is. We're scientists.
Didn't we just hear that Jack Easterby got a bad rap?
No, that's not what we said. Oh. Nick said it was overblown. I just said if he would admit to all the things that he did wrong, I would forgive him. That's it.
Cannabis and alcohol use are linked to better orgasms in young people. Do you think you should
smoke that study? Young people.
Young people said,
"Hey, mom, did you see the new study? Who did it? Me." Carlton.
People between the ages of 18 and 30 who consume cannabis and alcohol may experience superior sexual function.
And then also, I think it's also worth noting that millennials and Gen Z, actually Gen Z, are having less relations than any generation ever in history.
They need to smoke more weed then. Smoke more weed and drink more. Okay?
I guess they have less. I guess it's quality, not quantity?
I guess. Hey, we're done. Charlie Polillo's next. But first, I got to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble. Hey, speaking of... I don't know. I don't know what kind of sex Jeff is having. All I know is this. All I know is that he is going to be able to fix your home. That's for sure. He is going to be able to fix your business. He is going to be able to make it better. He's going to make it more livable. He's going to make it more valuable. He is going to make it look prettier. He's going to make the value of your home increase because he is going to fix it, whatever it is that you need fixing. Now, it can't be just some little, hey, I want you to fix a few tiles in my floor. No. You want to put in all new floors in your home? Yeah, okay. Jeff Aronoff can do that. Want to put in an all new patio? You want to put in a new kitchen with countertops and cabinets and all of that? Yes, yes. Jeff Aronoff is here for that. That's what he's here for. If you're looking for the best way to go about this thing and make just home improvements that you just got to have, people, can't just let the house sit around. Let Jeff Aronoff do that for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Bye, bitch.
This is ESPN 97.5.